is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
From Washington, the news is that the Biden administration plans to reimpose the title of terrorist organization, foreign terrorist organization, on the Houthis of Yemen. The Houthis command the northern part of Yemen, once a nation of 26 million people. They command the part with the capital, Sana'a. These are not rebels. These are the representatives of Yemen. In Aden, there is a rump government paid for and obedient to Saudi Arabia, hardly what qualifies as a government. I welcome Victor Davis Hanson to comment on this irony of ironies that the Red Sea is now being pummeled by a government in Yemen that says it will stop when the war in Gaza stops. The same thing that the Iran foreign minister now in Davos has said in these last hours. The attacks on Israel will end if the Gaza war stops. Iran, Iran, Iran. I welcome Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution to comment on these matters because in the early days of October, right after the tragedy of the attack on October 7th, it was routine to claim that Iran is not responsible, Iran is not participating in this. This is Hamas, despite all the best information that Iran has built a ring of fire around Israel. Hezbollah, Hamas, the IRGC parked in Syria, the Syrian regime itself, and the Houthis in Yemen. Victor, a very good evening to you. It is welcome that the Biden administration recognizes the Houthis are part of a terrorist organization, but this is not jihad. This is Iran driving this. Iran has fired missiles into Kurdistan in these last hours to destroy what they said was the Mossad headquarters. Iran has fired missiles into Pakistan. The casualties are reported, including children, claiming that they're destroying terrorism. The Biden administration is reluctant, still reluctant, to declare Iran the enemy. Why, Victor, after all these years, why? Good evening to you.
Good evening. There's two reasons. One is the general difference in opinion about how world peace is achieved. That's a generic idea. It's shared by a lot of people on the left, but particularly this particular administration, and they feel that the more magnanimous they are to our enemies, that will be reciprocated in like kind. They will appreciate that and tone down their aggressiveness rather than see it as weakness to be exploited. But in particular, I think as we go into the election cycle, the Biden administration is very sensitive to criticism that after the disaster in the Afghanistan pullout, the invasion by Russia in Ukraine, the saber rattling of the Chinese over Taiwan, the Chinese brazen trajectory of that spy balloon across the continental United States, and then, of course, the invasion of Israel by 3,000 gunmen, there was a sense that they had lost control of foreign affairs, reminiscent of the Carter administration, say, 1979 to 1980. And now they understand they have an existential problem, and it is Iran. And Iran is the common denominator with Hezbollah, with Hamas, with the Houthis. Stop Iran from funding and encouraging and supplying these terrorist organizations, and the Middle East would be a pretty quiet place. But that would require some military action, and that would then feed the narrative that they came into the administration at a time of peace. And during election year, they helped cause or they allowed to break out numerous wars all over the world, but especially in the Middle East. So they're going to try to appease Iran as long as possible. But I think they don't quite understand from history, the more that you appease an aggressor, the more likely, not less likely, it is to be further aggressive.
The Gaza war is underway, and yet the action in the Red Sea is distinct in that it's also an economic war. The insurance rates are reported rising as we speak from 0.7% of the cargo load in a ship to 1% and are said to be going higher. The heads of the shipping companies, many of them are saying this is going to last for months and we're diverting around the Cape of Good Hope, adding times to delivery. The government in Cairo is saying that we've already experienced a 30% drop in revenue because of the ships avoiding the Red Sea and the Suez Canal, and they've raised their rates. At the same time, the supply chain is now permanently disrupted until and if the Houthis are solved. They've fired some almost three dozen missiles, and they've stopped 20% of the traffic from having confidence the Red Sea works. That's supply chain, that's inflation, that's higher prices for our European allies, and eventually it's coming our way. Does the Biden administration recognize this? This isn't about the vanity of the Iran deal of 2015. This is an assault on the world economy, and people vote their pocketbooks. Do they see that, Victor?
I don't think they do. I think they see this as analogous, and it's not, because the Houthis are sponsored by a powerful Middle East nation, and they are quasi-state themselves, but they see this more like the Somali pirates in the Red Sea that can be, you know, managed. And then they have, as well as we know, a portion of the Democratic Party, maybe the base or the younger base or what it described as the future of the Democratic Party, who's openly for Hamas, and we've had demonstrations here on the United States, believe it or not, in favor of the Houthis, or at least criticism of the United States and its allies for striking back. So, I think they want to manage all of this, and they feel that if they can just talk and appease and promise this and put pressure on Israel, these attacks will cease by summer, and the damage economically or to their election's hope will be mitigated. But I don't think they realize it's going to increase geometrically each time we fail to respond, and it's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt all of us economically if they don't stop it. And it'd be much better to take the short-term pain and deal with Iran. And there's a lot of ways of dealing it short of war, as we know. They were pretty well behaved when they had very strict sanctions on them and travel restrictions on them and ostracism on them, which were all lifted by the Biden administration. This is a direct result of this administration coming in to power in 2021, immediately restoring financial aid to Gaza, Hamas, the Palestinian Authority, removing the terrorist designation of the Houthis, trying to restart the Iran deal, allowing the sanctions to stop, and billions of dollars to go into the Iranian coffers, and then pressuring the Lebanese government to make accommodations for Hezbollah. So this was self-created.
The remedy is to confront Iran, at the very least the Houthis. But I do not read anywhere that there is a recommendation to solve this immediately before the economic war grows and grows, and we have trouble again similar to the worst of inflation that we had 2 years ago. What would solve it, of course, is ground action in Yemen. Is that imaginable, Victor? You've got to go to the source, and that's Sana'a.
Yeah, I don't think there's no sympathy, empathy, even tolerance for putting Americans on the ground in Yemen. I think if we are going to respond, it would be first by stiff sanctions on Iran, and as I said, international ostracism led by us on Iranian commerce and oil sales. And then secondly, it would be much, much stepped up strikes against all the facilities that allow them to launch missiles. And we could stop their airport. We could stop air shipments coming in. We could stop sea shipments. I think we got to remember that this is not new. And on the eve of 1967 Six-Day War, Israel against Egypt and its allies, Syria, etc., that broke out partly because the Egyptians were trying to shut down all commerce into the Red Sea and stop Israel from using its Red Sea port. And so it's not new. And the Houthis are just copying what Nasser did in 67.
Yes. A nice piece of history. We're in an escalation cycle. What does history tell us about that? How do you turn an escalation cycle off, Victor?
Well, I mean, we've tried, there are ways, and one of the ways, of course, is diplomatic, and we've tried that. You can, appeasement, remember, was not a dirty word originally, because people fell after the carnage of the Great War, 17 million dead in the trenches, that talk was better than war. So the idea was in the 30s, they would placate Hitler, and that turned out not to be very successful. And that's what we're doing with Iran. The more that we placate them and appease them, the more dangerous they become. So at some point, I think some point quickly, we're going to have one last chance, and that is stiff sanctions, they said, an oil embargo, and then military strikes on the Houthis to eliminate their ability to disrupt commerce in the Red Sea. I'm not sure that's going to work, but it's worth a try, and we're not trying that now.
Oil embargo, does that mean a blockade? Because that is the U.S. Navy is capable of blockading Iran.
That's another question, because unfortunately, one of the drawbacks of the Biden administration's policy is to have brought China together with Russia and Iran, and to a lesser extent, countries like North Korea or Turkey. So when we say we're going to sanction oil the way that the Trump administration did, there wasn't that hostility from Russia and China toward us, or they weren't in cahoots with each other. And then they thought Donald Trump was completely unpredictable and somewhat dangerous, so they listened to him. Now they feel that we are predictable and not going to act. They're much closer together, a new axis of evil, so to speak. And if we sanction oil, we're going to have to make a decision on whether we're going to let Iranian tankers or Russian-bound or Chinese-bound or North Korean-bound commerce to leave the Iranian shores and ports. I'm not sure it would work if we didn't, and that would cause a whole new dilemma. What do you do when the Chinese send a tanker in and it's trying to buy Iranian oil? What do you do? Do you stop it, and then you confront China? It's something that we'll have to think about, but it didn't have to happen this way had we not lifted the sanctions in 2021.
This is not Iraq and Afghanistan. This is not making war on tribes of savages or people who pretend it's the 12th century. This is about 20% of the nation of the world's commerce passing through the Red Sea. Also about our ally, Egypt, which is a very fragile economy. The Nile's down, the population is too large, and a drop in the revenue, its major source of income from the Suez Canal, is damaging. We don't have time for this. It's not the same wait out the Taliban or strike against the Sunnis somewhere in Ramallah, in Western Iraq. This is about day by day, everything costing more. Do you sense there's alarm in Washington, or are they treating this as if it's just Blinken at the front lines?
I think what they're doing is to play out the clock. They think they can manage this, and every once in a while have a responsive strike that mitigates the problem for a week or two, and then they're going to go through this cycle all the way to the election, because they do not want this impression that they help cause a theater-wide war. And there's also a clock ticking that we don't talk about with Iran. Iran takes credit one day for Hezbollah's rocketing, or one day for Hamas, then says it's not really credit, it's not responsible, it's now bragging about the Houthis. It almost claims credit for all of its terrorist satellites. It wants the world to know that it's very close to the bomb, if it's not already have enough fissionable material to make one, and has one. And the message it's sending is no preemptive raids, because you see how unpredictable and aggressive and confident that we are now. And you can imagine if you were to do something to us, given our boldness in the last year, we may have to respond with a nuclear weapon. That's the subtext of a lot of what they're doing. They're trying to suggest that they're not the old Iran. They're a much more confident and bold Iran, and that confidence is accruing because they're close to, if not already obtained, a nuclear weapon.
Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution. We're turning to the election next. Victor mentions it. We've had results from Iowa, and we have courtrooms. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.